This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Hello, good morning. 8 minutes past eight this morning. Lovely Monday, and you are welcome. Another exciting time for us to have serious conversations and talk about issues that concern our states, the nation, you, me, as Rivers people. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew, and I'm your host on the Morning Crossfire today. Well, the fight against illegal oil refining activities still very much ongoing. The fight against the suit still very much ongoing. In fact, you would agree with me that we're beginning to see, some changes in the air around the city of Port Harcourt and its environs. At least I know that around this axis, Rumusi axis, I mean, you wake up in the morning now, it's clearer. It used to take a longer time before you have a clear day, a clear sky, I beg your pardon. Now it seems to be a bit different. The air seems to smell better. So, the fight really yielding some results. But there are still questions that need to be asked. And that's why we're having a conversation this morning. I will be speaking with a traditional leader. He is not just any traditional leader, but the National Chairman, South Chiefs, Elders and Opinion Leaders Association of Nigeria. It is High Chief Dr. Omobo Atubuenoma Harry JP. And he would be with us in the studio. What do we want to look at? The role of traditional rulers in maintaining peace in their domain and the governor's directive to them. You know how much the governor has directed traditional rulers on a lot of things. Tackling this illegal refining is the most recent one. It's also saddled them with the responsibility of tackling, cultism in their various domains one time as well, and ensuring security. That's it. He also even tackled them sometime in 2019 and directed them to ensure that they put up a new development plan for their domains. I mean, these are just to name a few of the times that the governor of Rivers State, Rivers State government, have asked traditional rulers to do certain things and ensure that they use their offices appropriately. So we're going to be looking at the role that they play in all of this, most especially with tackling this illegal refining activity in their domain. So I'll play you sometimes that the governor had said that they should do what they have to do, because there's been a lot of times the governor has done that. Remember also during the COVID period, the governor also directed them to ensure that markets are closed, ensure that their people abide by the COVID-19 prevention protocols and all of these things. Yeah. So what is it like? Traditional institutions, the government at various levels, how should the interface work? What should we expect? So I'll start off with what the governor said during his first broadcast in the new year and the directives he gave to traditional leaders, and not just traditional leaders in that case, also local government chairman as well. Well, listen to this.
Let me also reiterate, we are as overly concerned as the public over the black suit environmental disaster that's continued to envelop Port Harcourt and affecting residents quite some time. Consequently, I've directed the chairman of Port Harcourt City Local Government Council go after all the illegal crew oil refining sites along Creek Road and all adjoining areas of the Port Harcourt City and shut them down to be defected. Furthermore, all local government chairmen are directed to work with community leaders to locate and identify those behind all illegal bunkering and crude oil refining sites in their localities and report to my office for further action. Once again, we express our sympathy to the victims of the recent fire incidences in the state, especially those who lost loved ones and vulnerable property.
So in this particular case, traditional leaders are to work with local government chairmen to see that they tackle the problem of soot and the illegal oil refining activity, which, you would say has been ongoing for a long time. Even if the questions we've been asking, lots of people have been worried and people have been saying, why do we see local government chairmen now swinging into action and doing all of these things? I mean, these are things that they ought to be doing in their local governments even before now, many would say. If you're in that position, this sort of activities shouldn't have been taking place under your watch. there's not much we can say about that. At least now they're up and working and trying to tackle that problem. That's one time. There's also another time where the governor had a security meeting with security operatives and traditional rulers as well. He also gave directives.
So you must, as a duty, come on your community and your CDC, Community Development Committee, come on your youth bodies, that you cannot continue to allow this.
And that's one time. And also, we also had the situation where the governor talked about accusing traditional leaders of also getting involved in collecting monies from people who practice illegal trading and also, you know, constitute nuisance along our roads. And this was what he said in that time.
It has also come to our knowledge that traditional leadership, including members of community development committees and youth leaders of Rumola, Rumoba, and Okoronodo communities, are collecting money from vendors and alliance with trade activities around and under the flyovers in these communities. The effrontery of the so-called traditional rulers in disobeying the existing lawful directives on illegal street trading is an affront to the authority of the state government. Consequently, I have direct the traditional leadership of Rumola, Rumoba, and Okoronodo communities to immediately stop all street trading activities around in or under the flyovers in their respective domains or be deposed, arrested, and prosecuted.
Okay, so in that case, you heard the governor there speaking, accusing traditional leaders of, you know, patronizing these people who are involved in illegal street trading and the rest of them. Well, it brings us to our conversation this morning. And what we're looking at is the role of traditional rulers in maintaining peace in their domain and the governor's directive to them at different times. My guest is already here with me in the studio, High Chief Dr. Omobo Atubuenoma Harry JP, National Chairman, South South Chiefs, Elders and Opinion Leaders Association of Nigeria. You're welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
A pleasure is ours to have you. Happy New Year first, I think. It's the
happy
first
New Year.
We are seeing. And a happy Monday as well, if I'm supposed to say that. But traditional rulers, traditional institution is one that's very exciting and interesting to people, especially the fact that it's one of the oldest form of leadership that we've seen known to man. What's the role of traditional rulers, basically, in the scheme of things when it comes to relationship between government and the people?
Yeah, traditional rulers, as you mentioned, are the custodians of the traditional custom and tradition, ways of living and management of human beings as per the different segments.
Yes.
Having said so, you could also agree with me that it is the administrative pattern of the traditional rulers that the colonial masters, through their ways of maintaining peace, although you might say they have other traditional methods of administration that instigated and inspired the formation of customary courts and all the rest of them. So when you say the roles of traditional rulers in maintenance of peace or other aspect, yes, of course, the traditional rulers are designed to take responsibilities in that direction.
Okay. Now, in recent times, we've seen the Rivers State government, represented by the governor himself, Governor Yesson Wike, giving directives to traditional leaders at various times. Most recent would be on the issue of tackling the illegal refining activity. There's also been times where he has talked about handling street trading, also to ensure peace in communities, tackle cultism and all of these various other issues that the governor has directed traditional rulers to handle. And then the argument of whether or not traditional rulers have enough power to handle such issues then comes up. So what do you think about these directives, and how do you think, is it something that is within the purview of traditional rulers to tackle?
Yeah, actually, right now, what we're talking about, especially the South South Chiefs and Elders Forum, we need participatory governorship. That is, you know, community governorship, whereby you bring in the traditional rulers to perform because they are the custodians of the custom.
Yes.
And if you now include them in the administration of affairs, that is participatory governance, they will actually have their role to play perfectly. Now, talking about illegal trading and all things, it was the traditional rulers' council that first talked about suit, the health situation in our state, especially River State and beyond. In short, it's not only River State. Go Akwa Ibom State and others. You see, the illegal refinery that Bofire, so-called, has created uncomfortability as far as health has that is concerned. And it is the traditional rulers who actually first and foremost shouted the danger involved. So I give kudos to the River State governor who has come up now to make sure that this does not happen again. Actually, some of us, some of the traditional like us, are very, very pleased with Tonyin Sonwike for the step he has taken. And he should go more further to actually, not only by words, admitting the traditional rulers to perform what I call the participatory governance. Give them the opportunity and the needs to actually also comb this aspect of Castario's suit and all the rest of them that's going place.
Beyond just shouting, like you've said, the traditional rulers were the first to talk about the suit situation, which many have attributed from reports we've also seen that the illegal refining activities contribute the most to the suit situation in the state. What steps have or can traditional rulers take to tackle that problem within their domain? I mean, looking at the directive that the governor gave, I was playing some excerpts from the statements of the governor where he was ordering local government chairmen to also work with traditional rulers and see that these illegal refining sites are identified and those people who are involved in these things are apprehended and reported to the government. How has the traditional institution and traditional leaders in various communities, what should they be doing with regards to this?
We should be in partnership with the local government chairman. We should be in partnership to actually locate wherever these things are, provided we are given the what you call the security condition, sincere security operation. Now, the tradition.
What do you mean by sincere security operation? We have to ask because we know that, I mean, the suit situation, like you said, has been on for a while. Illegal refining in River State has been on for a while.
Yes.
So for so many people have been raising questions and groups have been asking questions, individuals have been asking questions as to why we are now seeing the vigor in which, you know, local government chairmen working with traditional rulers are beginning to do this. When it's something that many would say they should have been doing before now. So is it because of no sincere security in court? So you have to explain to us what that means.
Yes. You've said it all. It's not coming from you, me, but every person knows you as a president.
You mentioned sincere security. We need to know what sincere security means.
To be sincere, some of the security agencies are agent to this coal fire business.
So that's why it's been difficult for traditional rulers?
Of course. When some of the security agents, of the security agents that are supposed to prevent a part and parcel of the system. So we traditional rulers now are exposed to danger. But with what the governor has done today, we say kudo to him. Now, we will be in partnership with the local government to make sure that this thing doesn't happen again, to fish out wherever they are within our geographical locations, where we govern, to make sure that this thing have a full stop to it. And the only way we can do that, there must be what we call sincere security agents that actually have the citizenry in heart.
Okay.
Sincere security agents passionately involved in this exercise. That is why the traditional rulers are talking about, some of us are talking about, not the imitational, not the the criminals in the security agencies.
But many would also ask, this question has been thrown around many of the times, as to why it has to be after the governor gives directives before we begin to see certain level of action being taken, especially at the local level.
Yeah, because right now, it is talk of the town. Right now, there is effective security system that goes about with the team, to say, the task force. Now, you are safe because we have the armies and we have the Navy, if possible, to guide as a team, as a task force. And that has given us the impetus or the commitment that is required of the traditional rulers to perform. The participatory aspect of governance, as I told you before, to fight against this illegal bunkering and whatever with sincere security backup. Why not?
In other words, you are saying that traditional rulers have the powers to tackle the problem of illegal oil refining in their domains, but they need sincere security before they can carry out that act. And you're saying the reason why we're seeing this activity now is because the traditional institution has seen some level of sincere security activity, and that's why you're coming out in the manner you are coming out. Okay, we'll go on a short commercial. When we return, there's still more to talk about. There's been accusations left, back, right, up, down. Some people have been pointing fingers, saying local traditional leaders within the traditional institution, some of them involved in cultism, others accused of being involved in illegal oil or refining activities as well, and all of this is contributing to why it's difficult to have peace in some areas and why this illegal refining activities still continue. So perhaps when we return after this break, you tell us more about that and what is being done to tackle that problem. In the meantime, we'll go on a short commercial. If you have opinions, questions you want to ask, the WhatsApp number is 0809-030-6416. That's the WhatsApp number, 0809-030-6416. When we return, the Morning Crossfire continues. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station. And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, and yes, I'm still very much here with you. We're not going anywhere. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew, and if you just tuned in, this is what we're looking at: the role of traditional rulers in maintaining peace in their domain and the governor's directives to them. My guest is High Chief Dr. Omubo Atubuenoma Harry JP, the National Chairman, South South Chiefs, Elders and Opinion Leaders Association of Nigeria. And so before we went on the break, we talked about, the powers the traditional rulers have and why we have not seen traditional leaders come up to tackle these sort of problems like the illegal refining and the rest of them. And you mentioned something very important, which was sincere security. And we came to the point where you've said sincere security now seem to be something that's available to this traditional the traditional institution. And that's why we are seeing what we are seeing now. But It brings us to this question, which has been the accusation that has been laid against many or some traditional leaders by some individuals. I remember vividly, we've had some former cult members during the amnesty period who've also come out to accuse some traditional heads of being involved in such activities. There's also been accusations of some traditional rulers being involved in illegal oil refining. In fact, I'll read out something from the Daily Post in 2019. This was the governor who was speaking, Governor Yesam Wike. He regretted that some traditional rulers have been negatively involved in cultism or rather social vices, while others have been indifferent to the social crisis in their kingdoms. I quote him now. He says, "Under your watch or seeming complicity or indifference, cultism and criminality, especially among community youths, continue to rear their ugly heads, disturbing the peace and development in our state. Worse still, some of you have become partisan traditional rulers and divisive figures in our communities, thereby constituting obstacles to unity, peace, and progress." Now that was the governor's statement. Do we have this sort of things happen? These accusations, how true are they?
Yeah. Of course it is. That is what I'm saying, that before this time, I have the opportunity to talk with some press, men and women, which I use the word biological traditional rulers and artificial, that is political-oriented chiefs.
Mm.
Now, there is no biological traditional ruler that will condescend so low to get himself or us involved in cultism. Now, the traditional institutions now is so porous that because of politics, people are made chiefs when they're supposed not to be. But I put to you that there is no biological traditional ruler that will involve itself into all the social vices that we're talking about.
Mm.
Cultism, bunkering, and all the, what you have. Because he has a stick with his people. Without people, there's no traditional ruler. Without his subjects, there's no traditional ruler. The biological born traditional rulers will never involve in criminality, in criminal affairs. He will not, because there are some laws, traditional laws, that in short bind him. But when the porosity of the chief transit institution by infiltration, political infiltration, comes in, and whoever that wins bread or whatever becomes a title holder nowadays.
Mm.
For example, I am a high chief because I'm the head chief of Atunoma Group of Houses. I am the first son of my father. My father is the first son of his father, and his father is just that.
Just like that.
So you ancestral stool, you see, and it has to do with ability and capability. Ability in the sense that you have to understand what the role you are playing as a traditional ruler. Unlike somebody who might have win a lottery in one form or the other and want to show up, then somebody somewhere give him a chief transit title or you become a chief just like that.
So what's the process? Shouldn't chiefs like yourselves who have the ancestral lineage, shouldn't they be looking at how to see that whoever is being given that title or that position to become a leader in the traditional institution is credible and not doing it for certain interest? Or don't you have any role to play in ensuring that
before this
the system is not polluted?
Yeah, sorry. Before this time, look at the colonial masters. Look at them. They pick the traditional rulers and use the system of governance, the traditional way of governance, and modernize it. They respect the kings, the Amainabo of Calabari, the Oba of Benin, and all the rest of them, that, and their council of chiefs. You see, when they came in, they look at the structural management of the traditional institutions and develop and see how. Now, if because of governance, somebody will say would dethrone or not to dethrone, or classify, not to classify. It is all this infiltration, all this attitude going to the traditional institutions that you have this problem.
Mm. So how do you then put a line between the relationship between government and traditional institution? How do you balance that?
Yeah, the government should allow the traditional institution, the genuine traditional institution, to reign. Just like I just mentioned, when the colonial masters came, even though, yes, there were some errors in slave trade and whatever, it still made the chiefs, but the customary court, as I told you, originated from the way the traditional rulers were managing their affairs, maintaining peace and order in their domain, either through diabolical means or otherwise. But you can't steal. You can't tell lies. And all those things are naturally in place. So maybe the punishment might be sort of too heavy, and that is why they have brought in the customary courts and all the rest of them to moderate and make sure that things are done in more in a polite manner. Mm. Therefore, one, let there be a participatory governance, bringing in the real traditional rulers set up to affiliate with the government structure. Two, the government should have a limited role in interference of the traditional institutions.
If we have traditional leaders who, from trying to make up a word from your thoughts, that are not, or that are leaders because of political interest or political desires or aspirations, and they are involved in some of these activities like supporting illegal refining or supporting cult groups and all of that, which is resulting to some of the crisis that we have in some of our communities, shouldn't traditional leaders like yourself report these people, ensure that appropriate disciplinary actions are taken? Whether I like it or not, they are part of the system. They're now chiefs. They're now traditional leaders in one capacity or the other. Isn't there a system that's supposed to address such problems when they occur?
Thank you. We are talking about accessibility. How often do we have the opportunity to actually meet with our councillors, meet with our governors, and so on? Accessibility. In those days, a traditional ruler can send for whoever that is in governance, head of government, or commissioner, whatever, and he obliged immediately.
What's happening now? Why doesn't that happen now?
That is the question. Neglect.
Is it neglect as a result of the government just not wanting to do what they do, or neglect because some traditional leaders may have put themselves in a position where they've lost that sort of authority that they used to have?
Well, I may say maybe, to their own belief, maybe to their own perception. But I told you that before this time, when a compound chief should send for his subject, whatever position he is, whatever situation he is, that subject must come down and listen to the purpose in which he has been invited by his traditional father. But nowadays, it's not like that. And for you to have access to the powers that be becomes a problem. That is why we are saying that let there be a participatory aspect of governance with the traditional rulers, whereby we must have a forum. We must have a forum to actually say what is in our mind, or to discuss with the government one-on-one, not through peers and assistants and so forth and so forth. Mm-hmm. So if there is this aspect of participatory aspect of governance, mm-hmm. and we forget about top-down management, this man said so, this and that, and no, let us have participatory aspect of governance, that the traditional owners will have access to the government.
But then we have meetings. I mean, there are meetings that are organized where traditional rulers visit the government house, and then they have conversations with the governor, and some of these directives were even given in such kind of gatherings. In those kind of gatherings, are we saying the only traditional rulers who attend are those who have political interest, or those who are not from the, you know, don't carry that biological traditional bloodline?
Some of these meetings are for information. Go and get information.
So not to really hear
not
from
to
the
say interreactive one.
Mm.
Just maybe person want to pass information to the chiefs or rulers, they pass through the local government structure, mm-hmm. and they come, maybe 30 minutes, the governor speaks to them and go, and this is what the government want, and this is what... There is no time that we have had interactive sessions freely. Okay, let us come, let us discuss in confidence. When these things are put in place, I think this aspect of misplacement will not be again.
Mm, okay. Let's open the phone lines and hear from our callers. 0817923000 0817923000 and 0009 are the numbers for you to call. The WhatsApp portal is 0809030 6416. On Facebook, you can watch us live, Nigeria Info PH. Same thing on Twitter. Hello, Nigeria Info, good morning. Okay, we lost that call. On Facebook, we're seeing a few comments here. This one is from Magnus. He says, our traditional, without truth, equity, fairness, and justice. Oh, this is Ebodili Emmanuel. Without truth, equity, fairness, and justice in the communities, there can be no peace. There is no reason why community youths should be jobless and unproductive. If I'm the president or governor, my major focus will be how Nigeria or my state will be industrialized and how every youth will be productive in the areas, different areas. There is nothing the traditional ruler can do because they lack the capacity to help in a society of jobless, poor, and hungry youths in their community domains. Is this true that there's nothing traditional rulers can do within their domains? I mean, you've also said that there are things they can do, but security reasons have been why they haven't done the much that they should do.
Also, now, there's a point there, unemployment.
Mm.
And that is why I keep on hammering on participatory governance. Now, today, we are glad that we are dismantling all these illegal refineries and so on. I think modular refinery that sometimes was mentioned by the federal government, if those things are being put in place in the various areas now, it will create job opportunities for the jobless.
But now that we haven't gotten the modular refineries, which is to come from the federal government, at the state level, isn't there something that should be done as well?
Yeah, let the state take over the responsibilities of these modular refineries, because they are the people actually interacting with the people. Mm. Now, if these modular refineries are being put in place as anticipated, some of these jobless youths will be engaged in one form of employment or the other. The other time too, I think the South South Chiefs and others put up a proposal of fishing trawlers.
Yes.
That we said that if ocean-going fishing trawlers could be provided, It will also create job opportunities for the jobless, not only uneducated, even the educated ones, those who study marketing and all the rest of them. Now, you see, the technology of doing this profile, the ability of doing profile to bring out either whatever thing they do bring out.
Yeah.
If this knowledge could now be properly managed,
yes,
by bringing these modular refineries, employing these people, and the illegal become legality, it will save the communities and the environment so much good.
All right, let's take this call first. Hello, good morning, Nigeria Info.
Good morning, my brother man, Andrew.
All right, go ahead. You have 1 minute.
Yes, my name is David West.
All right, go ahead, David West.
ATM Nigeria.
Go ahead.
Let me begin my opinion with that of the traditional rulers.
Okay.
For instance, the governor of River State now are giving traditional rulers charge in the way he puts it, to go and see that in their domain, the people that are engaged in illegal bunkering, profile, named or those places do not exist. Now, the manner at which the governor is giving the charge alone is not even a respect to the traditional rulers. Is it the traditional rulers that you don't respect in giving that kind of responsibility to go and do? A traditional ruler that does not have any security, how does he go and carry out that kind of enormous tax?
All right.
And for the traditional rulers too, they must learn to begin to assume respect for themselves.
Okay.
Ordinarily, a governor cannot give you a charge as it is if they don't belittle themselves.
All right, David West, thank you very much for your thoughts. Hello, good morning, Nigeria Info.
Mr. Zion, good morning to you.
All right, Mr. Zion.
And for the Royal Highness in the studio, good morning, sir.
Good morning, thank you.
The truth is this. In the south-south-southeast region, traditional rulers have so subjected themselves to poverty, shame, and disgrace that without governor's stipends, they have no say. And most of them are governor's candidate or politician or political candidate. And do you know that most of these traditional rulers, they are not in their domain? They are not even recognized by their people. They don't know their people. Their people don't know them. So tell me, what authority can they exact on their people? Do you know that because of poverty, most traditional rulers in the south-south-southern region, they are in court today? They are in court because of traditional school. Sir, do you know that if the governor goes to the north, he bows down to the MIS, but here in the south-south-south, he wants the traditional rulers to bow down to him? Do you know that the traditional rulers in the north, the police must take permission in their hand before any arrest is being made? But in the south-south-south is what happened. They come and they invade our communities because of the traditional school have been desecrated by politicians.
All right, Mr. Zion, thank you. I think he made a lot of points today. We'll address some of those. We'll just take another call first. Hello, Nigeria Info. Good morning.
Good morning, FM. I'm grateful for this discussion. Our father in the studio, good morning.
Good morning.
I want us to look at the early Nigerian traditional ministry. Let's say 1780. The political leaders did go to the traditional rulers to seek advice and instructions on how they are to manage their government system. Why then all the traditional issues, ideas on how to handle civil cases within the traditional limit of the community, these were the responsibilities of the traditional rulers. Conclusively, let's also look at the early traditional criminal justice ministry. At that time, all the cases in the community are taken to the traditional rulers to handle and God was giving them adequate wisdom.
Exactly.
Without a gun, without anything, then we are causing the community to be peaceful. Myself talking to you now, by God's grace, you guys, I am 57. For you to know that I know what I'm talking. But what exactly that happened? Traditional minister and institution there was completely separate. Mm. What exactly that now joined them?
All right, thank you very much. I think you made all of your thoughts heard. We'll take reactions to that shortly. Good morning, Nigeria Info.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning to the Royal Highness Studio.
All right, JJ, go ahead. You have 30
seconds.
I'm not
that one that will patronize this morning.
Thank you.
I think the election process of the traditional ruler has been bastardized.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them even use these boys that you want them to fight right now to get into throne. And what happened at the end of the day? You cannot even give any of them order. I remember those days where the entire community would gather. No matter how harmed you are, they would tell you, look, we don't want this activity here. And they banish you from the community because of the aid of the traditional ruler. But these days, they now wait on the boys to bring arms and all those put together. Then they are not doing well. So they have sold their right like Esau. So conclusively, mm-hmm. until the traditional ruler get their respect back from them by themselves, that is how the government will keep using them, and they become powerless. There are boys that are more powerful than them in the community, and those ones are the ones committing the crime, or those that are very close to them, and they give them money seriously. So,
all right, JJ, thank you very much. He said quite a lot. In conclusion, we'll get to our guest in the studio, but let's just add a few WhatsApp messages first. This one says, good morning, Andrew, from Madam Christie. Traditional rulers lost their relevance when they allowed politicians to oil their egos and greed. Then the politicians cashed in on their greed and hunger for power. Good morning, Nigeria. And for, our governor is telling traditional rulers to fight oil bunkering in their domain. How does he expect them to fight oil bunkering with their walking stick and caps? Good morning, Andrew. I must be sincere. Yeah, under this administration, we don't have reputable traditional rulers or leaders. All right, I will just speak with you in conclusion, just try to make it as short as possible. What's your view to some of the things said, and what do you think about the view people have now of the image of the traditional institution?
Yeah, first and foremost, I quite agree with some of them. I said here earlier before this time that there is a need for what we call participatory governance. Mm. In participatory governance, somebody's talk about poverty within the traditional rulers and they are not respected.
Yes.
But if we now bring in what I have said, participatory aspect of governance, you see that the traditional rulers will be equipped.
Okay.
With all what it takes, logistics and all the rest of them.
Okay.
And they know that they have a stake in the government. But where you deny them of such opportunities, and I agree that some of the traditional rulers are living below poverty line because of, I will use the word, if I may beg to use the word, greedy politicians. Unproductive politicians that could not be able to realize their role in order to look into their constituency and do the right thing that why they are voted into power.
Right.
And yes, I have said so that modular refineries and fishing trawlers to augment in terms of unemployment.
All right.
And we'll see some of these problems that we are facing today. Some of the youths are jobless. Graduates are roaming the streets.
All right, High Chief Dr. Omubo. I really wanted to go on and on, but we don't have a lot of time. We're already far out of time. So thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
He is the National Chairman, South-South Chief Elders and Opinion Leaders Association of Nigeria. And High Chief Dr. Omubo Otubuenoma Harry JP. Thank you for your time. My name is Ifeyemi Andrew. Have yourself a lovely day.